he said, with more warmth than he'd shown at any point previously. Let us theorize that you're Alberich.
Hardly my Alberich,
Irene snapped. Fail snorted.
Alberich, then. Let us theorize that he expected to have completed his plans in a few days, at which point it would no longer matter if you contacted the library. As he was still around earlier today, with our murder in mind, those plans can't be completed yet. Especially as he was still trying to get us, or rather you, out of the way.
That seems plausible, Kai said, emerging from his moody self-absorption. But if he doesn't have the book, and we don't have the book, and Bradamant doesn't have the book, and Silver doesn't have the book, and if the Iron Brotherhood is responsible for the alligators, so still on the offensive, then they don't have the book. He shrugged. Who does have the book? I dislike dismissing possible culprits without firm evidence, Fail murmured. But I see little reason why the Iron Brotherhood would be interested in a book of fairy tales. They tend more towards technological paradigms. Now, had it been one of the lost notebooks of Leonardo da Vinci, that would be entirely different. Come to think of it, he levelled a stare at Irene. Why would your Alberich want to steal a book of fairy tales? Out of spite? Maybe there's something unusual about this particular copy of the book, Kai offered. Possibly there's something hidden in the binding, or a coded message.
Irene shook her head. I don't think so. The reason I think the library wants it is because it might contain something which other versions of Grimm's fairy tales in other alternates don't. That is, a new story or several new stories. There would be no point in collecting it if it were just the same as the ones in other worlds. But if Alberich wants it? I don't even know what Alberich wants.
She became aware that she was starting to whine and made herself concentrate.
It can't be because there's a significant connection between the book and this alternate. It's not individual enough for that. There are too many other versions of Grimm out there. That sort of connection requires a very specific book with relevance to that alternate.
Her hand twinged, and she rubbed it nervously, then tried to stop herself before she made it any worse. Bradamant certainly wouldn't approve of what she was about to say, and her mentor Coppelia would undoubtedly have forbidden her to voice her suspicions.
But Coppelia couldn't have foreseen any of this. Could she? Sometimes information about the library gets out, she said slowly. Not just in conversations like this. Librarians are observed, or they talk too much, or maybe the Fae are involved. It's not exactly something that I've been tutored in. She paused to translate her thoughts into a theory that would also make sense to Vale. And often when this does happen, this information ends up being recorded in works of, well, fiction.
Kai blinked, eyelids flickering without moving.
I've heard as much.
And that confirmed his nature for her. Trainees did not get told about this, ever. Only librarians fully sealed to the library got even the most basic of briefings about it. Irene herself was a full librarian, albeit a junior one, and even she had only had a few hints about it. If Kai had heard as much, then it had been from other dragons, not from librarians.
Indeed, she said, keeping her voice even. And if there is some secret pertaining to the library in this book, then that might explain why Alberich is so eager to get his hands on it. Silver, too. Some Fae know about the library and have an interest in it. If Silver believes that the book holds some secret, if only because other people are trying to get their hands on it, that would make it irresistible to someone like him.
Kai frowned. But if it's such a big secret, why send... forgive me for this, Irene. But why send someone who's just a journeyman librarian after it? Why not send in an expert? Several experts? That could actually be construed as support for Miss Winters's theory, Vale said thoughtfully. In order not to attract Alberich's attention, your superiors could have chosen to send someone who had no idea of the book's importance. Someone who would not be seen as an obvious choice for important missions.
Irene decided that this was not the time to have a hissy fit or make pointed comments about her status in the library, especially as Vale was right.
But unfortunately, Alberich found out about it anyway. Irene continued the hypothesis. And, come to think of it, that would explain Bradamant. One of the senior librarians might have thought I wouldn't be up to the task and decided to send her in. With an effort, she added, she does have more experience than I do, after all. And then there was Kai, apparently just an apprentice, but in fact a dragon. Well, probably a dragon. She needed to have a private talk with him. They simply hadn't had a chance since the river incident. If Coppelia had known that, then assigning him to the mission was far more significant backup than it had originally seemed. Vale nodded.
So, if your associate Bradamant, another code name, I take it.
Irene nodded. We all have them. It was simpler than trying to explain the whole librarianly choice of names to him.
Very well. Your associate Bradamant arrived here before you did, and created an identity as the thief Belphegor. An intelligent piece of work. She must have planned to conceal her theft of this specific book among the thefts of other books. A needle in a haystack, as the saying goes. Do you suppose she would be prepared to return the other ones?
Irene thought about it. Vale's theory made a great deal of sense, and was a step ahead of where she'd managed to get to. She'd always wondered, or even daydreamed, what it was like to actually work with great detectives, rather than just read about them. It was more annoying than she'd expected. The odds were that Bradamant had kept the books. After all, if her private mission had been successful, then she could have donated them to the library as well. I can ask her, she offered. The current mission is definitely more important than these other books.
But it's our mission, Kai put in.
Irene sighed. It was well past midnight. It had been a very full day. She was tired to the bone. Look, Kai, at the moment, the most important thing is keeping that book out of Alberich's hands. If he wants it, then it's paramount that he doesn't get it. And the second most important thing is getting it to the library. I admit it's not going to look good on my record if I fail, but when it comes down to it, I don't care if I bring it in or you bring it in, or if Bradamant brings it in and takes the credit and ends up spending the next 10 years rubbing my nose in it. And if that means promising her the book in exchange for handing back the other books to Vale, then I will do it.
That's very noble, Kai said dubiously. But it doesn't solve our original problem. Where is the book? I believe that is something we can discover when Madame Bradamant is here to be questioned. Vale said briskly. She agreed to come and see you tomorrow, I think. And if Singh does not release her, then we can go and question her in prison.
Irene nodded. She was about to continue when Vale held up his hand.
One more thing. When you made that reference to significant connections and books specific to an alternate, would you mind expanding on that?
Damn it. Irene had been hoping to skate past that without going into further detail. Belatedly, she decided that she should never have mentioned that bit in the first place. Stupid of her. Some books have a significant connection to the alternate that they come from, she said reluctantly. They help anchor the library to that alternate. It's not a bad thing in itself. The library's a stabilizing force, so it even helps ward off chaos influences like Fae. That was half of it. The other half of it, the possibility that books with a significant connection to the alternate world could affect that world itself, could somehow even change it, was only a theory at her level in the library. It was a theory that she was increasingly wanting to research in more detail, but there wasn't time for that at the moment. It was also something that she definitely wasn't going to tell Vale. Call her a cynic, but Irene suspected that if she were to tell him that, then there would be no way in hell that he'd cooperate in getting the book for her. He'd be far too concerned at what it might mean for his own world. After all, he'd made it clear that he didn't necessarily trust the library's intentions.
And my world, Vale pounced on her words. Which books are significant here?
I don't know, sir. She saw Vale was about to object, and she shook her head. No, please. Believe me, Mr. Vale. We don't get told. They don't tell us,
It's dangerous knowledge.
He leaned back in his chair, his expression hungry and unsatisfied.
And aren't you ever curious, Miss Winters? Don't you want to know?
You're suggesting that I have some sort of academic curiosity about the fact,
Irene said curtly. Out of the corner of her eye, she could see Kai leaning forward.
I've already told you that our interest is in books, not...
She looked for words that would convey her meaning with sufficient strength.
Not in overarching world-changing forces.
Yes, Miss Winters, Vale said dryly. That is indeed what you have told me.
The unspoken accusation of lying, or at the very least prevarication, hit her like a slap across the face. It didn't help matters that it was in some respects true. She lowered her eyes and couldn't answer him. Worst of all, for the first time in years, we're just doing this to save the books, sounded petty, and choosing not to know more seemed childish.
And yet, there might be good reasons for not knowing, Vale went on, talking over her bowed head. Perhaps for fear this Alberic fellow might find out. Perhaps simply the senior members of this library would refuse to tell you, if they knew themselves. And perhaps you would simply refuse to tell me, for your own safety, or for mine.
His voice was dispassionately kind. She didn't deserve it.
It must be very frustrating, Miss Winters. Wondering.
She still couldn't bring herself to look up.
If it was important, she said, then they'd tell me.
Or possibly it is too important to tell you, Vale answered. Just as with the suggestion that the book contains classified information, which we discussed earlier. We lack sufficient information to know for certain which is true. But one thing is sure. We cannot allow this book to fall into Alberic's hands. You'll accept that, Kai demanded, his face brightening. I may be suspicious, Vale said. But I hope that I am not stupid. He has already made his position towards me extremely clear, after all.
Irene took a deep breath.
If you have no objection, there is one more thing I would like to do before we sleep.
What is that?
Irene smiled a little. It was good to know that this was within her power again, now that the chaos contamination was out of her system, and that Vale trusted her enough to consider it. It helped her feel less ashamed of herself.
It's possible to link a suitably similar space to the library.
She surveyed Vale's office again.
In practice, that means there has to be a reasonable number of books present, or some other sort of storage media. It won't enable passage, but it will... Well, it can make that area a sort of annex of the library, and that would prohibit creatures of chaos from entering, or, more specifically, it will prevent Alberic from being able to get in, if he does realize that we survived.
Ah, a good thought. Will this involve any sort of magic?
Only the innate force of the library itself, Irene said, she hoped reassuringly.
She didn't want to go into the whole question of the language. She'd already said more than enough for one night to an outsider.
You probably won't notice anything at all.
Why did your colleague who was murdered not do this? Vale asked. Or did he?
It wouldn't have lasted, Irene answered. She'd been through this in basic training. The problem with declaring an area in sympathy with the library is that it only works as long as nobody takes any books away from it. Your lodgings will be safe because nobody will be removing any books from here this evening. Mr. Aubrey couldn't have done the same to the British Library. The protection would have come down the moment someone took a book out of it.
Ah, Vale sat back in his chair. Very well. You may proceed, Miss Winters.
It didn't take long. She simply invoked the library in the language, in the shortest possible way that it could conveniently be done without damage to the speaker or the surroundings. The more precise the definition, the more harm it might do to everything around it by linguistically shaking its surroundings into conformity. Declaring the library's unabbreviated name, a single word, would remove everything that was not library. Irene therefore used half a dozen sentences. She felt the snap of coherence as the synchronization took place, and with it, a greater sense of comfort, She felt in control again.
Odd,
Vale said. He rubbed at the bridge of his nose, frowning.
I thought that I would feel something more than that.
What did you feel? Irene asked curiously.
Something of a headache, like the high pressure before a storm.
Vale shrugged.
I have no talent for such sorceries. Another reason for my differences with my family.
Irene was about to say, it's hardly sorcery, but decided that it wasn't worth the argument. She was also wildly curious about Vale's break with his family, but this was hardly the moment to pry.
It should keep Alberic out, which is the important thing, she reiterated.
Excellent.
Vale brushed his hands together and rose to his feet, all business once more.
Then, for the moment, I suggest we all get some sleep. Madame Bradamant's information is necessary for further hypotheses. Unless it is possible for you to reach her via some arcane method, he added hopefully.
I'm sorry, Irene said. I have no specific link that I can use to reach her.
Your connection to the library,
Vale suggested.
Would that work on its own? Or could it be used as the focal point for some other spell?
That wouldn't work, Kai said.
The library link is to the library, rather than other librarians, and it surpasses lesser sorceries. Irene and Bradamant are safe from fey glamours and minor spells because they're directly connected to a greater power. Such glamours would be as insignificant as starlight in sunlight.
Vale raised his brows.
But not yourself,
he asked, giving Kai more friendly attention than he had done since the river spirit incident.
I'm still a trainee,
Kai said, smiling as he stood in turn, then offering Irene a hand to help her rise.
For the moment, I don't have that sort of connection. What powers I have are my own and my family's. Your family?
Vale inquired, in a tone that was an invitation to expand on the subject.
There is a temporary disagreement on the subject of my future, Kai said. I hope to win them round.
Irene suspected there was more to it than that. The dragons, very well, the single dragon whom she had met, seemed to tolerate the library as some sort of human eccentricity. It seemed notable only for its admirable taste in fiction, and certainly not a prospective life for one of their children. Spawn? Eggs? Younglings? She didn't have the vocabulary for this. It was now quite obvious why Kai had claimed that his family was dead. She could understand why he'd told the lie, in view of the greater secret. What she didn't know was how he was going to resolve the situation, or how the library would resolve it for him. But then again, if Capalia knew about Kai's true nature, perhaps there were other dragons at large in the library. Maybe there was a secret alliance. That sort of thing would demand capital letters. Perhaps the lower depths of the library sheltered great slithering coils of ancient dragons and... And she was going to drive herself into paranoia at this rate. I agree that sleep would be a good idea, she said, causing both Vale and Kai to give her aggrieved looks. They could have a bonding session some other time, or after she had gone to sleep. Dragons might be standoffish in general, but this particular dragon seemed inclined to be friendly, or even outright demonstrative, and possibly even a thorough romantic. Chi was much more detached, semi-detached. Her brain was tired enough that her thoughts were making stupid connections.
I hate to impose on you for a bed, Mr. Vale, but...
Of course, Vale said, giving in gracefully. The bed in the spare room has already been made up for you. I'm afraid that Mr. Strongrock will have to make do with a couch in here. My housekeeper has put out some blankets. I'll just fetch them.
The moment he was out of the room, Kai turned to Irene.
Well?
Well what?
He folded his arms defensively, drawing himself to his full height.
I expected you'd want to talk about... Well, you know... You've probably guessed.
She'd thought about how to handle this. She'd run through several different scenarios in her head. And none of them that started out, "So explain why you're a dragon," had ended well. He was proud. She was familiar with the emotion.
No, she said. I'm not going to ask you any questions.
Kai stood there like a beautiful statue, in a second-hand dressing gown with frayed cuffs, blinking at her. The rain was audible on the window for several seconds before he could bring himself to speak again.
You're not.
My trust in you hasn't changed. She put her unbandaged hand on his wrist. I believe that if it mattered, if it was truly important, then you would tell me. You wouldn't jeopardize the mission for the sake of your own pride. But when it comes to your private matters, yours and your family's, I don't intend to pry.
Irene, he swallowed. That's very generous of you.
Think nothing of it, she said, turning away.
And it makes me feel like hell, he said to her back.
Ah, guilt, which Irene was very definitely feeling herself at the moment, for what she'd said and also what she hadn't said to Vale, and for the way that she'd manipulated Kai. She could tell herself that she'd only acted as was necessary in a dangerous situation, but she knew perfectly well that he'd confessed his nature to save her life, and she'd just, well, given him orders and enforced their relationship as superior and trainee. All her feelings of natural justice encouraged her to confess something to him in return, but she wasn't sure what she could say. And now he was offering her another chance to manipulate him. Under some conditions, Irene would happily have encouraged his guilt in the hopes of getting him to spill the full details, but in the middle of a mission wasn't one of them. I am not a nice person, she thought, to be thinking only of the mission, sparing nothing for my responsibilities to him. What do you want me to say? She asked, turning round to look at him. I'm grateful that you saved our lives. Thank you.
You're taking this far too calmly. He ran one hand through his hair. You should be demanding answers, being furious.
I thought you said you knew me. She pointed a finger at him. Look, so far just today, I have coped with discovering the skin of a senior librarian, with running into a trap of chaos energies, with an attack by alligators, with an encounter with Alberic himself, and with an attempt to drown us in the Thames. And you have the nerve, the insolence, the undiluted gall. She could hear her voice rising, and at this point she didn't much care. To expect me to throw my hands in the air and run round in little circles just because you happen to be a dragon.
Kai made desperate calm down gestures with his hands. I thought you were going to interrogate me. I was trying to think what to tell you.
Well, I'm not going to interrogate you. Irene lowered her voice. So calm down. Will it make you feel better if I promise that later on we'll have some coffee and... I'll ask you a lot of personal questions.
Yes, she could look forward to that. She would look forward to that.
It surprised her that she was indeed looking forward to that.
He sighed. At least I'll have that to dread, I suppose.
Kai! Irene gave him a very deliberate stare. Were you actually looking forward to telling me everything?
Kai tried to meet her eyes in a decisive way. He settled for looking over her shoulder. It isn't as if I've done this before, he muttered.
Later, she said meaningfully. I promise.
She turned to see Vale at the door with an armful of blankets. Am I interrupting? He asked politely.
Not at all,
Irene said firmly, and swept past him with as much dignity as she could manage. He and Kai could stay up talking as long as they wanted. Hopefully Bradamant wouldn't turn up with any emergencies until after breakfast. Chapter 15. Kai and Vale were both up before Irene, and she walked in to find them sharing breakfast. Yesterday's awkwardness seemed to have vanished, and they were talking amiably enough now. They seemed to be enjoying discussing politics, a hindrance to all right-minded men. Previous investigations that Vale had undertaken, though generally without books being involved, zeppelins, and the proper method for eliminating giant centipedes. Irene made the proper noises of good morning and
Yes, I slept very well, thank you for asking, and please pass the marmalade, as she took a seat. She then inhaled coffee by the cupful until she felt more human, letting the men resume their conversation. Her hand was feeling much better, even if it was still in bandages. Last night's rain had passed, and outside the window the sky was, well, as clear as could be expected, given the constant smog. Rays of sunlight were filtering down. No doubt birds were singing in the countryside. Things weren't too bad. She wondered if she could actually get to quite like this alternate. The door banged downstairs, and two sets of feet came hastening up the stairs. "Ah," Vale said, dusting toast crumbs off his fingers with a napkin and pushing aside the spoon and egg which he'd been using to demonstrate the finer points of Zeppelin control. "That would be Singh. I know his step. And no doubt Madame Bradamant with him." Irene hastily refilled her coffee cup and tried to ignore feelings of imminent doom. It had been such a nice morning, too. "They're up early," she commented.
"Oh, Singh is always welcome here for breakfast," Vale said cheerfully. "Especially when I'm working on a case that involves him."
Perhaps that was why Singh had allowed Bradamant to meet them here, rather than keeping her at the station. Irene wondered a bit nervously if there had been any communication between Vale and Singh last night, after she'd gone to bed. She stiffened her spine and was smiling pleasantly when Bradamant and Singh came in. Bradamant had somehow managed proper morning dress, neat and pristine, in dove grey, with violet cuffs and jabot, and had an umbrella tucked under one arm. Singh, behind her, was still in the same uniform as last night, but his moustache and beard had a spruce, freshly combed look to them. He carried a well-stuffed black briefcase that looked as though it had seen an investigation or two. "Ah," Singh said, his eyes fixing on the breakfast table.
"My dear Singh," Vale said, springing to his feet and seizing the coffee pot. "We must speak a moment. Ladies, Mr. Strongrock, please excuse us. Miss Winters, please do invite your friend to some breakfast. We will be back in a moment."
With one bound, he had swept Singh out of the room, taking the coffee with him and abandoning Bradamant in the process.
"Would you like some toast?" Kai said helpfully, rising to his feet.
"By all means." Bradamant furled her skirts and seated herself on the sofa next to Irene. "Is our host usually prone to such dramatic moments?" "I think he wanted to explain something to Inspector Singh," Irene replied. Her feeling of imminent doom was getting worse. She passed the toast and butter. "They're old friends, and no doubt they wanted to discuss things without us listening. Quite reasonable." "Oh, absolutely." Bradamant drew off her gloves, picked up a knife, and swiped butter across the toast. "So, what do we all have to say to each other while they're out of the room?" Irene ran through her mental list of languages and their applicability to this alternate. She wouldn't put it past Vale to be listening to the conversation. Imperial Russia had conquered China and Japan a while back in this alternate, so the odds were against Vale knowing Japanese. However, Bradamant did know it, and all things considered, she rather thought Kai would as well. "Last night, I told Vale the basics of the library," she said bluntly in Japanese. The toast cracked and splintered in Bradamant's hand.
"You what?"
Irene returned the other woman's glare. "We were attacked by Alberich on our way back here." She decided to leave Kai's contribution out of it. "He trapped us in a carriage in the river and left us to drown. We escaped, but after that, I had to give Vale some sort of explanation." Now she recognized the churning in her guts, the uncertainty in her mind. It was the nervous reaction she always used to get when reporting to Bradamant decades back, when she had been a student and Bradamant had been mentoring her in the field. It was, apparently, something she still had to get over, if she could figure out how. Bradamant hadn't been the type to insist on formality when Irene reported back. No, they'd always sat together or facing each other, as comfortable as one could possibly ask. And every time Irene had tried to explain something, she had been wrong. Always. Bradamant considered the reply, clearly looking for holes.
You could have given him a story about a secret society, she said. That's what I told Inspector Singh.
Irene was going to answer in the negative again, saying something like, I didn't think that it would work, or I couldn't think of a way to make it convincing, when she felt Kai's eyes on her. He clearly understood what they were saying. He was looking at her with something that took her a moment to identify as trust, as expectation that she could handle things. She had to deserve that trust. She composed herself, took a firm grip on her cup of coffee, and turned to meet Bradamant's eyes.
I took a field decision that Vale would be more useful and cooperative if he knew the truth. Well, some of the truth, she said. In this place and time, I am not a courtier to present an opinion to a king, but a general in the field, expected to handle things as they arise for the good of the library. Vale is a highly intelligent man, well informed on the current situation, and trained in noticing discrepancies. Albrecht had already made reference to the library, and I was forced to use my own abilities to break free from his trap.
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Kai relax a fraction, leaning back into his chair.
An incomplete story would only have roused Vale's distrust. We have enough enemies in this place and time as it is. Belphegor.
Bradamant snorted.
My actions were a valid response to the situation.
Do you still have the books? Bradamant hesitated a moment. Possibly she could guess what Irene was about to suggest.
I do. Some of them are rarities, you know. They would be appreciated by other librarians.
I have no doubt, Irene said wryly. You have always had excellent taste. But it may be necessary to return those stolen books to their owners, in order to secure cooperation. Bradamant put down her toast very deliberately and stared at Irene.
You have no authority to order me to do such a thing. Or are you planning to turn me over to your new friends instead?
Don't be ridiculous, Irene said, and tried to ignore the mental voice that pointed out that, yes, it would certainly convince Vale and Singh that she was on their side, and Bradamant could easily escape from any prison cell anyway.
I'm assuming that you were sent by one of our superiors. Why?
To find the Grim Book, Bradamant answered.
And yes, let me reassure you, I do have orders from one of our superiors to that effect.
Irene tried not to show her relief. Bradamant was still loyal to the library. A number of unpleasant possibilities had just been ruled out. Even if there was some sort of internal dispute going on inside the library about who was supposed to be fetching the damned book, at least she didn't have to worry about Bradamant being in league with Alberich.
It's possible that our target is one of those books that's linked to the whole alternate, she said. The fact that Alberich's after it shows just how important it is. And you could only know of my mission from someone highly placed. Surely these factors make it an absolute priority for us to work together to find the book and bring it to the library. Or do you have some other goal?
Bradamant brushed crumbs off her fingers. The toast lay on her plate, slowly cooling.
Certainly, my highest priority is to bring the book back, she replied. But I cannot see why Alberich should want to kill you. It isn't as if you have the book.
And you do. Kai put in, his tone highly formal. But it wasn't the formality of junior to senior. It was the formality of someone with authority in his own right, to appear in another discipline. From the look on his face, he realized that a second too late. Bradamant didn't seem to mind. She graced him with a delicate smile, and Irene wondered if anyone who didn't know her would have recognized the calculation in her eyes.
If I did, she said, I wouldn't be here now.
I think we would profit from a council of war, Irene said, or we will all assuredly hang separately. Bradamant thought about it, dusting her fingers again and again, until not even the smallest crumb could have remained on them. Finally, she said,
I will agree to that much, for the moment.
Irene nodded. She turned towards the door.
You can come in now, gentlemen, she called.
She'd have been listening if it had been the other way round, after all. Vale opened the door and held it for Singh to enter. Both men looked a little irritated,
Singh more than Vale. But then, Irene reminded herself, who knew what Bradamant had been telling him last night? There were few things worse than thinking you knew everything about secret goings-on, and then finding out you'd been fed a nice, plausible mess of lies. Vale occupied his armchair again. Singh looked at Kai in a way which suggested that he usually got the comfortable chair Kai was sitting in, then pulled over the high-backed chair from by the desk. He cleared off a stack of newspapers and settled down with a snort, flipping out notebook and pen. "I have been discussing the situation with Inspector Singh here," Vale said. He steepled his fingers. "It has become quite clear that we are all in pursuit of the same thing. Several members of the Iron Brotherhood were questioned last night. With Madame Bradamant's cooperation," he nodded to Bradamant, "which has established some interesting facts." "May I ask what you found?" Irene said, glancing at Kai, who looked impatient for news. Inspector Singh regarded her with the same wary distrust that he was displaying towards Bradamant. What fun. "You may recall the explosion a couple of nights ago, under the Opera House?"
"I'm afraid I only know the very basic details about that," Irene said. "Was it related to the Iron Brotherhood?"
Inspector Singh nodded. "It is indeed, madam. They happened to meet there, and unfortunately the blast took out a number of their more senior members." "Unfortunately," Kai said. "Surely if these people are criminals..." Inspector Singh shook his head. "Your reaction is understandable, sir, but you must understand that we have infiltrated some of these societies to a degree. We know who runs them, Mr. Strongrock, and we know who's in charge. We have some idea of which way they're going to jump in a crisis, even if we can't bring any charges against them. For the moment," he added ominously. "The unfortunate result of this little affair was that a woman of whom we know little is now leading the society. The Grand Hammer, I believe they call her. And this woman is, shall we say, an unknown quantity. I don't like unknown quantities, Mr. Strongrock. They don't fill my notebook, and they don't go to prison as they should."
Irene leaned forward. "Are you saying, Inspector, that this unknown quantity is linked to last night's events at the Liechtenstein Embassy?"
"You would be quite correct, Miss Winters," Inspector Singh said. He rearranged his lips in a thin, distrustful smile. "Now, from what Mr. Vale here has told me, I'm inclined to wonder if this woman is linked to the person you know as Alberich. Given that one of the aims of last night's little explosion, alligators and all, was to search Lord Silver's rooms while he was otherwise occupied." "For a book," Vale interjected. "Indeed," Inspector Singh agreed. "That's what our questioning confirmed. For a very specific book, the same book that was stolen from Lord Wyndham recently by a certain thief. Or, should I say, believed to have been stolen." He shot a glance at Bradamant. His face was inexpressive enough, but his eyes were very dark and very angry. Bradamant seemed to crumple in on herself. If she had had a handkerchief, no doubt she would have held it to her eyes and sniffed bravely. As it was, her lower lip quavered, and her eyes were wide and limpid.
"If Irene has told you about the library," she said, "then there's nothing more that I can say. I admit that I took..."
Irene admired her careful avoidance of the word stolen.
"Some books, in order to make the Grimm's disappearance look unimportant. But I certainly didn't kill Lord Wyndham. Why would I have wanted to? I didn't even know the man."
Irene raised her hand to get Vale and Singh's attention.
"Would you mind if I ask Bradamant a couple of questions, gentlemen, to fill in a part of the story on my side?"
"Certainly, Miss Winters," Vale said. Singh gave her a brief nod. Irene turned back to Bradamant.
"I saw a card in Wyndham's safe. It was embossed with a gold mask and signed with the name Belphegor. Was that you?"
Bradamant sighed.
"Yes, it was. I had the plans of the house from a local contact."
"This Dominic Aubrey person," Vale cut in. Bradamant glanced to Irene with an "I see you've been giving away all our local secrets" look, then nodded.
He and Wyndham had been acquaintances for a while. I think Aubrey may have actually been rather indiscreet in what he told Wyndham. But that's a different problem.
Just as you've been with Vale, was the unspoken message.
Anyhow, I came in by the roof while Wyndham was at his party downstairs. It was comparatively easy to deactivate the alarms on the display case where he kept the book.
Oh, was it now? Singh muttered.
And after I'd taken the book, I left the card in the case before leaving, by the roof again. I don't know why it should have been in the safe. She shrugged.
What time was this? Singh asked.
About 11:30, Bradamant answered. The party was in full swing downstairs. I didn't expect anyone to come up to Wyndham's study at that point.
Singh nodded. He turned to Irene.
According to our forensic specialists, Lord Wyndham was slaughtered somewhere between 12:00 and 1:00.
It is difficult to tell with vampires, but the fact that his head was found on the palings outside at 1:00 gives us some idea of the time frame.
Irene wasn't sure whether or not that was supposed to be a joke.
I see, she said neutrally. So in that case, who put the card in the safe? Lord Wyndham himself?
It seems the most likely hypothesis, Vale agreed. The man, I apologize, the vampire was beheaded in his study, at his desk. Some of the other guests at the party said that he went upstairs at 12:00, saying that he was going to arrange a surprise.
Kai nodded.
So when he walked in to find the book gone, he determined to preserve Belphegor's card for future investigation. Though it seems overly careful to put it in the safe, rather than simply leave it in a drawer of his desk. But then he was attacked.
That is so, Singh said, by members of the Iron Brotherhood. I have information from some of our agents. We believe they must have been masquerading as guests. They simply lopped his head off, walked out normally, and impaled it upon the palings as they left.
Irene frowned. But then Wyndham's murder was before the opera explosion and change in command in the Brotherhood. Is there a connection?
Singh and Bradamant traded glances.
That is a very interesting question, Miss Winters, Singh said. But at the moment, I am more interested in knowing the whereabouts of the book which Madame Bradamant stole.
Bradamant regarded him stonily.
It was a fake.
For a moment, everyone was talking, mostly along the lines of, what, and, are you certain?
And I know it was a fake, Bradamant said, cutting through the noise. Because when I took it back to my superior, he looked at it and then explained to me that he was not interested in facsimiles, especially those which were missing certain relevant parts.
Which relevant parts? Irene demanded. She was fairly sure who the superior in question must have been. Bradamant answered directly to Cachet, just as Irene answered directly to Capalia. The possibility of someone else having been involved and giving Bradamant orders. Well, it wasn't impossible, but it was too unlikely. At the moment, the principles of Occam's razor, starting with the most obvious answer, seemed the best plan.
Did he tell you?
No, Bradamant said bitterly. For a moment, her face betrayed genuine emotion, anger, bitterness, and sheer thwarted curiosity.
I was given the strong impression that it was better for me not to know.
Irene worked out times and dates in her head.
Then, when you met myself and...
She almost said Kai, but caught herself in time. Mr. Strongrock, on our way to our assignment, this was after you'd discovered the book was a fake.
It was, Bradamant agreed.
See how honest and forthcoming I'm being, her vague smile said, her expression under control again.
I thought that if I could intercept you on the way, then I could try to find the real book without your interference. Pardon my phrasing.
Of course, Irene said blandly. She was conscious of the three men listening.
So after that, you decided to come through anyhow. I had the advantage of already knowing this place, Bradamant said. I didn't expect you to work as fast as you did.
Irene glanced round at the three men. Somehow they shared a similar demeanour, whatever their reaction to this new information. Perhaps it was a kind of aristocratic poise, an inbuilt certainty that the world was going to cooperate with their needs. She wished she shared it.
Wyndham is the obvious candidate to have created the fake, since records show he had the original book,
Vale said briskly.
Inspector Singh, if you would...
Of course, Singh said.
He pulled a sheaf of papers from his briefcase.
The clerks and difference engines at the yard have tabulated records of Lord Wyndham's last few weeks. He only obtained the book 2.5 weeks ago at an auction of the late Mr. Bonhomme's effects, and it was certified as genuine by the auction house at the time, which resulted in a quite remarkable price being set on it.
Vale nodded.
I managed to trace one of the proxy bids to Lord Silver through the solicitor that he employed. We can be sure of his interest.
There were some threats after the auction, too, Singh went on. This all resulted in the book being under tight guard, so if he had the fake made, then it was within that time period.
Could it have been done that quickly? Irene asked, startled.
Vale leaned back in his chair.
There are precisely 3 forgers in London at the present moment who could have done it, he said. And even they would have taken at least 2 weeks to do so.
So there are, Singh agreed. And a delivery came from one of them. Vale held up a hand.
Matthias.
No, Levandis, Singh said smugly.
I thought Matthias was the one he'd dealt with before, Vale said. Possibly why he chose not to deal with him this time, Singh said. In any case... One of our people was watching Levandis at the time, the 7 matter, you know, and she confirms that he was making daily trips to Wyndham's house. The servants agree that he called, but they had him down as a workman doing some alterations on the panelling in Wyndham's study. They can confirm that was where he was spending his time daily. He sent a final delivery to Wyndham 3 days before Wyndham's murder, and didn't visit again after that.
Vale nodded.
Convenient. Sometimes we get lucky, Singh agreed. She wasn't able to determine what was going on at the time, but given this other business...
Wait, Kai said, frowning.
Assuming that Wyndham had a forgery made for some reason, and then displayed it, what did he do with the original?
He hadn't given it to Lord Silver,
Irene said thoughtfully, remembering the encounter in Wyndham's study. She saw Singh's lips twitch in an expression of distaste.
Silver was searching Wyndham's study and his safe, and I think it was the book that he was looking for. Maybe Wyndham had intended to give it to Silver, or promised it to him.
If Silver's involved, there could be all sorts of reasons Wyndham might have had a fake made, Bradamant agreed. If the book was hugely valuable, Wyndham might have wanted to safeguard it by only displaying the fake. Or perhaps he meant it as bait for Silver to attempt to steal it. We know that the Fae love things they can't have. Also, they had a very close, if antagonistic, relationship at times. The papers have made a great deal of that. Maybe Wyndham wanted to show off by loaning Silver the real thing, or had even promised him it to repay a favour. Or maybe he meant to fob him off with the fake. It's impossible to know without questioning Silver.
Or maybe the copy was meant for Alberic, Irene thought. Was that where Alberic fitted in all this? But if that was the case, then why didn't Alberic already have the book?
Lord Silver was certainly Wyndham's best-known ally and contact, Vale was saying, as well as one of his best-known enemies. Fey relationships.
His lips pursed in disapproval.
But in that case, the book may still be in Wyndham's house.
Singh was shaking his head.
If it is, sir, then it's very well hidden.
Irene suspected the sir was due to the presence of outsiders.
We, searched the place thoroughly after Lord Wyndham's murder. We did find a number of interesting items and documents which have been enlightening with respect to other cases, but the Grimm book was not there.
It could perhaps be very well hidden, Kai said hopefully.
We had our best searchers on the job, Mr. Strongrock, Sing said, in a tone which closed the subject.
So the real book is not in Wyndham's house, Irene reiterated, thinking aloud. And the forgery Bradamant stole couldn't have been started until Wyndham actually had the book. This would have taken at least 2 weeks to create. So was it moved during that period, or copied before it arrived? She turned to Sing. Can we confirm that the book entered Wyndham's house directly after the auction and remained in a public place there until it was stolen?
Sing nodded.
We can. And after it arrived, testimony from the servants confirms that the book, or a very good copy of it, was in Lord Wyndham's study all day, every day, madam. The maid who dusted it was quite definite on the subject. Lord Wyndham wanted it kept in perfect condition.
Very good. So, either the real thing or an excellent copy was on display throughout, but Bradamant definitely picked up the fake, and the real book cannot have been removed until the forgery was ready. If the forgery was only ready a few days before Wyndham's murder, given that the auction was a little over 2 weeks before the murder and the forgery would have taken 2 weeks, then the real book must have been taken from the house in those last few days. That is, if it isn't there now.
An interesting train of thought, Vale murmured, and Irene had to work to suppress a blush of pride.
It's nice to have just one little daydream come true, and it's even better when it's actually deserved.
But why not keep it in the house?
There is a risk of theft, from someone other than Belphegor, that is, Sing suggested. His safe might be impregnable to the Fae, given that it was cold iron, but human thieves could have opened it.
He gave Bradamant a meaningful look.
If the real book wasn't hidden very thoroughly, and it came to light, it would show Wyndham's display copy was a fake, whatever the reason for all this cloak and dagger subterfuge.
I wonder what he was up to.
Finally, he nodded to Irene.
I agree with your theory, madam. Although it does mean we'd have to assume Lord Wyndham handled the book himself, rather than passing it to some agent or third party to deal with.
Let us commence with that as a working hypothesis, Vale said briskly. In those 3 days, where did he go? And when could he have been carrying a book with him? How large is the book in any case?
A large hardback, Bradamant said, sketching the shape in the air with her hands. Leather-bound and illustrated, perhaps 6 inches by 8. Impossible to conceal under a fashionable coat. It could be carried in a briefcase easily enough.
Excellent, Vale said. That limits the possibilities. Lord Wyndham did not favour overcoats. What can you give us based on that, Inspector?
Just a moment, please, Sing said, flicking through the papers. I have some statements here from Lord Wyndham's valet concerning his comings and goings over the last few days before his murder. We managed to assemble quite a timetable of the gentleman's movements while we were establishing who might have wanted to kill him. He didn't make that many outings during that period, so I believe we should be able to rule out a number of possibilities.
Tension hung in the room. The seconds went by painfully slowly. Irene considered suggesting that they all help by taking a paper each and checking them separately. Then she decided it was a stupid idea. Then she considered it again. Then she watched Sing's moustache and beard twitching as he muttered under his breath and turned pages. With an effort, she glanced towards the window rather than watching Sing read. The weather outside still seemed to be good, for this alternate anyhow, with high-flying clouds and sunshine. The dreamcatcher that she'd noticed earlier was dark against the pale sky. She wondered what sort of dreams Vale had, that he, skeptic and logician, should hang a dreamcatcher in the window.
Ah, Sing finally said. I think we may have something here.
Chapter 16.
The day before his murder, Lord Wyndham visited his bank, Sing said. It wasn't a scheduled visit. Apparently, he couldn't be seen immediately, and he made a few complaints, which caused some of the tellers to recall his visit when we were questioning them. While none of the statements there confirm that he was carrying a briefcase, they don't say that he wasn't either. It'd be quite the normal sort of thing for a gentleman consulting his banker to be carrying.
Who did he bank with? Bradamant asked.
Lloyds, Singh said.
He frowned.
I'll need to get a search warrant if we're to look inside his safe deposit box, sir. That'll take a few hours at least, and it'd be easier with a bit of evidence that we could take before the judge.
There was a glum silence throughout the room.
Not impossible, of course, Singh added. But it might get us a warrant a trifle faster.
If the Iron Brotherhood were behind last night's attack on the embassy, and they're looking for this book too, then they might try and steal the deposit box from Lloyd's, Irene offered hopefully.
Singh looked disappointed in her.
I said evidence, madam, not conjecture.
Well, Vale brought his hands together in a brisk clap. Inspector, I suggest you set that in motion. And if there's anywhere else that the gentleman might have concealed the book, we can review the possibilities while we're waiting. Is there anywhere else that's reasonably plausible, or even possible?
There is one other thing, Singh said.
He turned back to one of the earlier pages in his bundle of papers.
Apparently, Lord Wyndham did regularly donate books to various museums around London. They were usually ones which he had collected earlier, but which were no longer of interest to him or his associates.
Irene twitched at the very notion. Give books away. How very frivolous, she finally said.
More altruistic than keeping them to himself, Vale corrected her. Please, go on, Inspector.
Singh rustled his papers, just enough to emphasize that he was in charge of the situation.
2 days before Lord Wyndham's murder, he sent a small box of such books to the Natural History Museum. Herbariums, bestiaries, that sort of thing. My men looked into it as a matter of course while in the process of investigating the goings-on before his murder. The clerk to whom they spoke said that nobody had got round to looking at it yet. Please don't stare at me like that, madam. It's quite regular for persons of quality to make donations to the museums. It might be months before anyone gets round to checking it, unless they'd been specifically notified that there was something of importance in it.
Kai frowned. Are you suggesting that he hid the genuine book in the crate of donations? Wasn't that, well, extremely risky? If even one person had found it there, he would have lost it. His bank deposit box seems much more likely.
No, I can see the logic of it, Bradamant contradicted him. If there is a backlog of such donations, it could have been as much as a year before anyone opened it, and he could have asked for it back if he needed it to present to Silver, or to anyone else, she added thoughtfully.
Well, the gentleman was a vampire, Vale agreed, so it would fit certain scheming aspects of his character, even though one should probably not speak ill of the undead.
He paused, but nobody laughed.
Oh, very well. Are there any other possible ways by which the book could have been smuggled out of the house, Inspector?
Possible, certainly, sir, Singh said cautiously, but not plausible. I had my men check the cellars very thoroughly. There are no connections to the local sewers or to the underground. Of course, if he trusted it to one of his servants, then we have a whole new set of possibilities. If that's the case, then we might do better watching the black market for such things to see if it shows up. Or we could see how the Iron Brotherhood go about finding it, if they're after the damn thing too.
Irene and Bradamant glanced at each other, and Irene could guess what the other woman was thinking. If they did have to resort to scouring the black market or liaising with secret society members, then it might be better for Bradamant to break away from the group. She could then use any contacts that she'd made as Belphegor, rather than be known to be working with Singh and Vale. Of course, Bradamant could then find the book and be the one who took it back to the library. So which was more important for Irene, finding the book herself, or making sure that it was found?
She knew what the answer should be, but that didn't mean that she liked it. Vale and Singh were also looking thoughtfully at each other. Then Vale leapt to his feet.
Well then, I believe this calls for a visit to the Natural History Museum. Ladies,